C-87. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Fed up of listening to uninformed speculation about the Kerguelen bolide, and fed up of hearing second-hand analysis of footage he could see as clearly as the people discussing it, Dan decided to try and get a first-hand report from someone who had witnessed the incredible event for themselves. He reached across his desk and picked up the telephone, which was wired to a line upstairs, like all other connections in the signal-blocking basement. With the phone in his hand, Dan dialed the long number he'd been given by Billy Kendrick many months earlier. It rang and rang until eventually someone on the ship answered. It wasn't Billy, but rather a member of the crew who kindly agreed to transfer Dan to the building where Billy was supposed to be. The crew member told Dan that she didn't know if Billy was still there or not, since there had been no contact from his group since the bolide. She didn't sound concerned about this, adding that she'd been told the island was under lockdown to make sure everyone was safe and that they'd all be reunited before too long. And so it was that Dan once again sat with the phone to his ear as it rang and rang and rang and stopped. The silence on the line wasn't total. It definitely sounded like someone had picked up. "Billy?" Dan asked, very tentatively. "Dan, is that you?" Billy replied, his voice loud but distant. Another distant voice then entered the fray, this time one Dan didn't recognize. It echoed Billy's. "Dan? Dan McCarthy?" The man's accent sounded European, maybe Dutch, but Dan couldn't be sure. He was equally unsure of the more important question. Who was he? A third individual provided the answer only too soon, much louder and much closer. "This is GSC Security Corps Kerguelen Command," his gruff voice boomed. "State the reason for your call." Dan didn't speak. His mouth was frozen. "Mr. McCarthy, state the reason for your call." Once again, Dan's voice failed him. He didn't know what was going on and wouldn't have known what to say even if he'd been able to speak. Try as he might, all attempts to force out a reply came up short. "Don't worry, Dan. I'm safe," Billy called, still distant. "I have over 100 international tourists and a full crew sitting on a ship on the other side of this island. Godfrey's black shirts can't keep me here for long. Don't worry about me, Dan. I'll be out of here soon." Mid-word, the line went flat. Helplessly listening to the uncomfortable sound of a dead tone from a basement on the other side of the world, all Dan could do was hope that Billy was right.